All right, so Hannah, thanks for joining me. So how long has it been since you escaped, and how long have you been in South Korea for?
It took about 2 months.
Took about 2 months. So you've been in South Korea for 2 months now.
No. I mean, it took 2 months to come to South Korea from North Korea. Actually, it's been 8 years since I left North Korea.
So you've been in South Korea for 8 years.
For 8 years.
8 years. Okay, so we'll discuss the defection process that you said took 2 months. We'll get to that in a little bit. So it's been 8 years to South Korea, and I'm glad you're adjusting well. So obviously North Korea is a very poor country. Poverty's rampant. I know people starve there. Can you tell me about your early life? Like, did you have a happy childhood?
What I remember is that actually I spent about 22 years in North Korea. So what I remember is that when I was younger, until maybe middle school, people had overcome the Great Famine. So what I remember is that when I was elementary school, some of my friends didn't come to school, so I had to go to their house to bring them to school because my teacher made me to bring them to school. When I visited their house, all the family members, they lied down and they couldn't wake up. I didn't know why, but later my mom told me that they were starving to die. That's why. And one of my older brother's friend, he was a client with the schizophrenia because of the lack of meal. So yeah, when I was younger, I saw the people experiencing great famine. And my family, they're not rich, but my mom, she started her business, small business. So I didn't I could have a meal all the time, so I didn't know about the Great Famine exactly. But when I was about elementary student, then I could understand about the famine. But yeah, I saw friends, they didn't have a meal, and so they couldn't come to school. You talked about the Great Famine, right?
So I've heard about it. Yeah, we hear about it here in the US. So in terms of like the social hierarchy, I guess you were a little more upper class than some of your
Not
brothers.
upper, not upper, but I think about middle, maybe not
Middle.
upper.
Okay.
Yeah, to become the upper, it means you have the power in that country. You should be the governor, something like that.
So your experience was similar to the average North Korean growing up.
Yeah, average, I think, because since 1994, when the president Kim Il-sung
Supreme
passed away.
leader.
Yeah, the leader Kim Il-sung passed away. It was 1994. So before the time when he was alive, before he died, the government, they provided meal to people, crops, and grain to people. So people, they just depended on the government. But after Kim Il-sung passed away, the government stopped providing meal. So people, they had to make their own meal. They had to make money to buy meal. So since 1994, the jangmadang, it means like markets were made in North Korea. People, they made it in the market and they tried to trade each other. Yeah, to change the meals, like the history, from the history people, they had to do that, right? Yeah, it's same. So my mom also, she recognized that she had to make money to provide meal to us. So she had her own small business selling alcohol and selling bread, and noodle, which she made it, she cooked at home, and then she sold them to change the meal, for us. So yeah, every those Korean people, they tried to make money like my mom or others. They made their own land to grow crops.
Right. Okay.
And so then, yeah. Okay.
So aside from that, was it a generally happy childhood for you?
Sorry?
Aside from, you know, obviously the famine and the hardships, was it a generally happy childhood for you in North Korea?
Yeah.
Okay. So how closed off were you to the outside world? Did you know that a whole world existed outside of you? Were you able to consume any Western media?
Oh, yes, of course. Actually, since, you know, I was maybe 8 years old, Korean age, 8 years old, great. I had the opportunity to watch South Korean media thanks to my aunt. So, yeah. Even though I watched a South Korean movie at the time, I didn't believe everything what the movie shows. Because
right.
Even in North Korea, the media, they tend to show the best things, you know. So I believed by myself, oh, that would be lying. Just that would be tricky. I didn't believe. But, you know, the more you watch the movies, you know, the more you are persuaded by the media. So I had interested in the, I was really interested in the South Korean movies. So I tried to watch more South Korean movies with friends, and we changed South Korean movies each other. I mean, we changed the city,
yeah,
in North Korea. Yeah,
yes.
The device of media is city.
Oh, city, okay.
Yes, not like, you know, YouTube and internet, because they don't have internet in North Korea. So
right.
By the city, yeah, we changed the city among friends to watch South Korean movies.
Was there a punishment if you were like found out by the authorities that you were watching those?
Yeah. You have to go to prison.
Oh man. Okay. So yeah. I'm glad no one got caught. Thank God.
Yeah. It's a dangerous thing, but I really desired to watch the movies, because North Korean government, they threatened people saying that if you watch South Korean movie, even either South Korean movies or American movies, you'll be killed or you should go to
a labor camp or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it sounds scary, but it made me more interested in the movies. Why this government make such a strict rule, you know? Why?
Right.
Oh,
right.
I more tried it to watch the movies.
So everyone was basically risking their life trying to watch these movies. So you obviously learned about the outside world through, you know, Western media, through these South Korean movies. When you watched them, did you ever feel jealousy?
You mean jealous?
Yeah, jealous. Did you ever feel jealous?
Yeah, of course. On the movies, it showed that South Koreans, they go outside of South Korea.
Yeah.
Without any, you know, punishment. And they have freedom to, you know, travel and to study, even to speak, to talk, whatever they want to say. They can protest against the government. But in North Korea, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was very jealous of the situation, the different situation. And I had so many questions. Why this government does not allow us to, you know, go outside this Korea, outside North Korea?
Did other people have those feelings as well? Like, were you allowed to discuss them?
Not others, but among my age.
Yeah.
I mean, in my class, among the close friends. Yeah, we talked about this after watching South Korean movies. Why this government not allow us to go, you know, to go outside North Korea? And why we cannot have internet, something like that.
Right. Can you talk? Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what sort of propaganda and brainwashing you're exposed to, and like, how old were you when this first started?
maybe when I was in school, so about 14.
So what 14. So what did they teach you in school? Like, how did they, like, what propaganda were you exposed to? What were you taught?
Sorry, could you speak that slowly?
What was, yeah, your, absolutely. So what sort of propaganda or brainwashing were you exposed to when you were younger?
About, you know, I know, North you Korea?
Were, yeah, about North Korea, you know, Kim family.
Actually, it's very can I say, it's so funny because even though watching South Korean movies, I found the difference between North Korea and South Korea, and we are so poor living in North Korea, and outside of North Korea, people have better lifestyle. I recognize that watching the movies, but what I really strongly believed is that Kim Il-sung and Kim's family, their policy is really good, but the governors under the main leader, the governors, they are so selfish, so they take everything which they have to give them to the people,
right?
So it's my personal opinion, but I think most of North Koreans, they still believe that the Kim's family, they do very well. Their policy rules are very good, but under them, like under Kim Jong-un, you know, there are governors, right? They take all the money and, you know, like crops, grains, they bring all of them to their house, not to share them to people.
But you were, I guess, growing up, you were taught to believe that the Kim family were like divine, that they were gods.
Not Kim family, only Kim Il-sung.
Kim, so you're taught to believe Kim Il-sung was a god.
Yeah.
How many people actually believe that? Or are they feel more forced to by the government? Do people actually feel that way?
I think maybe more than 70% of people believe that. Yeah, though I was at the time 22 years old, I believed that because I haven't never heard about God and, you know, the Buddhists or something like Muhammad.
Right. Yeah.
And we didn't have that kind of knowledge in North Korea because they don't teach us about that. So
you believed Kim was a god.
Yeah.
How did they get you to believe that? Like, what did they do to make you believe that?
That's a good question. I think the reason is that since I was born, you know, from the kindergarten until the high school, what the teachers taught us is that, yeah, Kim Il-sung is our God, and he, thanks to him, we could build North Korea, and we could make our own country. So he is like the sun. So and all the medias in North Korea, all the movies and the news, medias, books, and newspapers, everything say that Kim Il-sung is God. And I was definitely brainwashed by the words. I think it's the same to the North Korean people.
Right.
You know, if you can have the chance to look at internet and, you know, the real source outside of North Korea, you could compare between the reality and the fake, you know. But right, as long as you are just stuck in a small country without internet and everything surrounding you talk like Kim Il-sung is God, then you get to know, you get to believe, oh, that's true, you know. Yeah, I think so.
So everyone believed that. It wasn't like they were forced to. Everyone just actually believed that, like, that he was a god. They didn't feel forced to by the government.
I think so. Yeah. It's why people, they every day clean, you know, the portrait.
Yeah. I was going to ask that. Are the stories that we hear in the West true? Like, are they that crazy? Do you need like portraits in the house and like the police come and inspect them?
That's right. I think it's why. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I think brain was, yeah.
That's crazy just to hear that all these things are true that we hear in America. So were you there when Kim Jong-il died? Were you in North Korea when Kim Jong-il died?
Yes, sure. It was 2010.
Oh, 2010. What was the atmosphere like there?
People were crying. People cried it. Not everyone, but everyone felt really sad. And many people cried it.
So it was actual sadness. It wasn't like a show. Oh, actual sadness. Okay.
Actual sadness. But I didn't cry. I wasn't even sad.
Yeah, I don't blame you. How many people would you say support like the current regime of Kim Jong-un?
Sorry?
How many people support in North Korea? How many people support the current regime of Kim Jong-un?
How many people? You know, I think,
or a percentage.
Yeah. I'm not sure because I left North Korea 2014. So at the time, it's been four years since Kim Jong-un became the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Including me, you know, most North Korean, they wished Kim Jong-un would be better, would be much better leader compared to Kim Jong-il, because people know that Kim Jong-un, he studied outside of North Korea.
Right.
So yeah, he would have different perspectives. He'll be more rational than Kim Jong-il. So we expected a lot since he became the leader. But 2014, maybe 2013, he killed his
cousin or brother, uncle. Or something. Uncle, yeah.
Yeah, his uncle. So it made people scared.
Right. Oh, so you thought he would be a little bit better. He ends up being just as bad.
Yeah. And he made people scared. But until that time, I think most people had hope and wishes he would make North Korea a better country, and he will make people have better lifestyle, better life like that. So now I'm not sure, you know, about the situation, but by the time 2014, some people, they really believed Kim Jong-un would be much better leader and to make people have better life like that. But others, right. Yeah, but some believe like that, but others, they saw, oh, he killed his uncle, so he'll be more terrible leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
including me, I believe that.
So we spoke a lot about like the regime and the Kim family. What do you want people to know about North Koreans kind of outside the regime, just outside all the propaganda, outside all the brainwashing? What should you know about North Koreans besides for all of that stuff?
You mean the opinion about,
or just like what are they like as people?
You mean outside of North Korea?
No, inside North Korea, but outside of, you know, we talked a lot about
different countries.
So we talked about, I guess, you know, we talked about people in North Korea. So people in North Korea, what are they like? I mean, obviously the regime and like the propaganda is a big part of their identity, but outside of that part of their identity, what should people know about them? How are they as people?
How North Korean people think about the countries outside of North Korea, right?
Yeah, we could say that. Yeah.
You know, it depends on the people. If they had the chance to watch movies about South Korean, you know, movies or American movies, they can compare the difference between North Korea and South Korea. But, you know, most people in North Korea, they don't have the chance to watch movies. You know, the cities next to the China, the border, you know, cities between the border, I mean, between the China and North Korea, such as Hamgyeongbuk-do, and it's very north, and Ryanggang-do, where Mountain Pak-do is located. So the two provinces, they are, the cities are located along to the river, Tuman. Tuman River is the border between North Korea and China. So people who reside there, they have the chance to watch movies.
Oh, I see.
More than the people living in the other cities.
The Pyongyang?
Yeah, Pyongyang or Gangwon province, Haesan, you know, like Saryon. There are more cities. Only two provinces are located near the border, like Hamgyeongbuk-do and Haesan, Ryanggang-do.
So you grew up near the Chinese border, I'm assuming?
Yes. Okay, yes, that makes sense. I'm from the Hamgyeongbuk, a bit north.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. Yes.
So basically, if people didn't watch movies, they wouldn't know what rough shape their country is in. And don't understand life's better elsewhere. Okay, so this media kind of opened your eyes.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So I want to get into like the process of you defecting. So when did you first consider defecting? Was there like a specific moment in time where you're like, I gotta leave? Or it's like over time.
I think when I first tried it to escape North Korea, it was in 2008 when I was maybe it was 2008. I was 13, 10. I was 15 North Korean age. At the time, I first tried to leave North Korea, but there wasn't specific reason, just as you talked to me, like over time, as I have watched movies a lot, and then it made me to decide to leave North Korea.
Okay.
Yeah, there wasn't any specific. Lots of things made me to decide to leave North Korea. For example, I had to watch the Sahyeong, Mulder. Let me search the word.
Sure.
Can you see my face?
Yeah, I can see you.
Yeah. Death penalty.
Ah, yes.
Death penalty without my will. When I was elementary school, the school stopped class, all the class, and then they forced all the students to go to the place to watch the death penalty.
Oh my God! So you saw that when you were younger?
Yeah. When I was 8 years old, I had to watch that.
For someone who tried to defect.
There were two people. So one, he was man, and the another one was woman. So the man, he did the human trackings.
Oh, okay.
And the woman was his partner. So
I see. Okay.
They were killed. Yeah, the soldiers shot them, and we had to watch that.
Okay, so those were some of the reasons. So was there any like I know we said like it built up over time, but was there like one specific reason that you're like I have to leave here?
There are so many reasons, not specific actually.
So what were some of the reasons?
The other reason was that, you know, in North Korea, even though you really want to go to university, but you cannot go if you are not rich enough.
Right.
because you have to pay a lot in North Korea. The scores from the exam scores, it doesn't matter. The matter is that you have enough money to go to university. So I had to give up going to university because I didn't want to make my parents worse, as they had to pay money for my tuition fee and everything. So by the time when I graduated high school, I thought a lot about my future. And in North Korea, I couldn't see my future and dream. Because even though you graduated university and you got a job in North Korea, the company did not pay money. So just you volunteer at the companies and you have to make your own money by doing something.
Oh man. So you basically, you left in search of a better life essentially.
Sorry?
So you left North Korea in search of a better life. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's the fact actually. And yeah. I wanted to find my dream and my future. Yeah.
Could you talk about that process of how you escaped?
Okay. I just across the border. It's called River Tuman River. Yeah, maybe. I crossed the river by myself without the broker, because I couldn't find any broker at the time. As Kim Jong-un, he ordered that if you find anyone who across the border, just kill them. And the people who do the human trackings, Kim Jong-un said, everyone who do the human trackings, just you'll be killed. So I couldn't find anyone at the time who can help me to go to North South Korea. So I had to hide on the mountain near my home. And then, do you have a Facebook? If you want, I can send you my hometown picture. Maybe.
Yeah, I have Facebook.
It will help you to understand more.
Sure. I'll send it through here. Actually, I'll send it through the chat.
Okay.
Okay, I see. So it's very, very mountainous.
Rural.
Mm-hmm. Rural, yeah.
Yeah. So can you see the hometown, like the small houses?
Yeah, I could see the house. Yeah, I can see all that.
That's my hometown. And then can you see the water?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a River Tuman, actually.
Oh, so you're right on the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I crossed the border, and then when I arrived to China, the town was also rural. So as I didn't have anyone who can help me at the time, I just hid on the mountain again in China. Around 5 and 6 a.m., I could see many taxis going to the street. And I stopped one taxi and then asked to the driver, like, as you can see, like all of my clothes were wet.
Right.
So as you can see,
they probably knew you came from North Korea, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am from North Korea. And then I really wanted to go South Korea, but I don't know how can I go to there. So could you please help me? And then he looked at me like that. And then he was angry, saying that, like, are you crazy? If I am a bad man, then I will, you know, just bring you to the police and then I can take the money. And then he said, I cannot help you, but I know who can help you. If you go to the church and then as well as you are honest, they will help you.
Do they speak Korean or Chinese?
They speak both Chinese and Korean.
Okay,
near the border, there are Chinese Koreans.
Oh, so I see.
Both times. Yeah, so I speak Korean.
Oh, okay. So you're able to communicate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how dangerous, I guess, was the process? So, like, obviously, like, if you were caught by, like, border guards, you would have been shot. Like, how did you evade, like, the border guards?
I was lucky. I didn't see them. Actually, the night when I left the North Korea, the weather was so bad. It was raining. And I left on April. In North Korea, April is still so cold. So it was raining and windy, so cold. So I think the border guarders, the soldiers who guard the border, they didn't come out from the small house.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you kind of got lucky. You picked a good time to go when no one was there.
Yeah.
Did your parents know?
Sorry?
Did your parents know that you were planning on leaving?
How?
Well, not they now. I mean, at the time.
No, I couldn't tell them about that. I didn't say anything. So, I contacted them since I arrived South Korea.
Okay. And you were able to get in touch? How were you able to get in touch with them?
There are brokers living in North Korea who have a Chinese cell phone.
Oh, okay.
By then, I could contact my parents, paying money for that.
Were they mad when they knew what you did?
Sorry?
Were they mad?
Yeah, at first, they were very upset.
Right.
They were very upset. Yeah, you could understand that, you know. My parents' opinion is that, like, we grow you for 20 years but you just left us.
Right. Yeah. I understand where they're coming from, but obviously I also understand your situation.
Yeah, I understand too, but it's my life. So
of course. So you said you arrived in China, the taxi guy said to go to church. So you went to the church, I'm assuming, for help. So what happened there?
Yeah. So actually, when he told me about the church, you know, the pronunciation church in Korea is Gyo-hwae. So he told the word to me. What I understand is that he talked about suburb. Suburb pronunciation is Gyo-hwae.
Oh,
it's quite similar. We don't have Gyo-hwae, the word Gyo-hwae in North Korea. So I didn't know about the words. What I realized is that, oh, his pronunciation is not good. So he talked about Gyo-hwae. So I said, in my opinion, Gyo-hwae suburb would be a quiet place without police. So I said, yes, I will go to the suburb. So he brought me to the city and then he talked to me there. Oh, that is Gyo-hwae. And what I saw is that it was a really huge building with the cross.
Oh, okay.
So I was very scared, but as I didn't know anyone at the time, so I just trust the taxi driver, and then I went to inside the building church, and I met a really nice pastor there. He was also Chinese Korean, and he helped me. He cared me for a month and telling me about the Christianism and everything. And then he contact South Korean church and they helped me to come to South Korea.
So how long were you in China for? You said 2 months?
No, 1 month. And then from China, we cannot take the flight, right? Because we don't have a passport.
Passport.
So from the China, we have to go to the east to south countries, such as Thailand or Laos. So I went to Thailand by a Chinese broker. From the China to Thailand, it took about a few days. And then by cars and boats, you know. And then from the Thailand, we had to go to the immigration prison, yeah, in Thailand. And I had to stay there about 2 weeks. And then in Thailand, there is a South Korean embassy, so they help us.
Were you scared throughout the entire process? Did you ever second guess yourself?
Yeah, I was so scared from when I was going to cross the river. I was very scared. In China, I was scared too. But from the China, when I went to the broker, there were 4 North Korean girls with him.
Oh, okay. So what was that moment when you finally left North Korea? You finally tasted freedom. What was that like for you? Like, what did you feel? What emotions did you have?
I felt like I won against the North Korean government.
It's pretty funny. And you did. I mean, you obviously you're living a good life in South Korea, so you definitely did win. What was, I guess, the most shocking thing for you right after you escaped? Like, what was the weirdest thing for you?
What made me scared, what made me shocked was that the fact Kim Jong-il was not the god, and the Kim's family, what they did was all lying. The history, you know. In North Korea, all the history talks that Kim's family, they created North Korea, and they made North Korean people have freedom. And thanks to the Kim's family, we could alive like that. But when I heard from the main pastor at the church in China, it made me shocked, you know. All the history was fake.
Everything, yeah, you learned everything was fake, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know about that. So it was
fake. When you found out everything was fake, were you like, what did you feel? Were you angry? Like,
yeah. Actually, first it's angry. Second, I have to tell to people about
the truth
living in North Korea about this reality, you know.
Right. So were there any, when you left North Korea, was there any like repercussions for your family that you left behind? Like, was there any punishment for the family that you left behind after you escaped?
There wasn't punishment, but there was 2 tests to my parents from the government. One is that since I left my home, after a few months, the police from the government, they visited my parents and talked to them. Oh, there is your daughter's dead body. So do you want to see that? So my mom was just shocked. And then my dad, okay, because they didn't know I escaped North Korea. I didn't tell them about it. So they believed it's true. And then my dad just followed the police. And then went to the hospital to see the dead body. And it was the body, a 40 years old woman.
Oh, so obviously it wasn't you. Yeah, so what happened after that?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. And just I think the government, they tested my parents. And the another one is that it was after more than 6 months, after my parents knew I came to South Korea, because I called them when I came to South Korea. But at around 2 a.m., a girl called my parents on the telephone. So my parents, they said, "Who are you?" And the girl had the same of my voice and talked to them like, "Oh, mom. No, I am Hannah. Now I just had short time to talk to you, and I really missed you, something like that. So my mom, my parents, they believed it's really me because the voice was quite same. And the girl, she sang a song, which I really enjoyed when I was in North Korea. And I used to sing the song in front of my family. So my parents, 100%, they believed it's
thought it was you.
My mom, she cried, talking like, oh, you should come to home. We really, really miss you. Where are you? We will just go to you right now. We really want you to come back to us. And she said, like, oh, sorry, I can't say where I am now. And I have to go. So bye, you know, be safe, being safe, you know, take care, something like that. And after the day, in the morning, my parents, they just recognized that, oh, it must not be because in South Korea. So they visited the police office and talked to them. Oh, yesterday night, a girl who called us told me that she is Hannah. So could you find the record? And they said, no, there's nothing about the record. So my parents believe it's second test.
So they tried to test them. When you talk to North Koreans, just like average North Koreans about defection, what is their attitude toward defection?
Defection?
What is their attitude towards defectors, people who leave, people who escape?
Could you say that again?
Sure. What do North Koreans, people in North Korea, what do they think about people who defect like you, people who escape? Do they hate you? Like not your parents, just regular people.
Okay. Yeah. I think some might think they are 변절자. What's that? 변절자. Turncoat.
Traitor.
Traitor.
Yeah. I know what you're talking. Yeah.
Some people might think like that, but I think most people envy of that.
Envy. Okay.
Yeah. Envy. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about like some of your time in South Korea. So you get to South Korea from China, well, through Thailand. How difficult was it for you to integrate? Like, what culture shocks did you experience?
I didn't really have culture shock because I used to watch movies a lot when I was in North Korea. So actually, I was disappointed
really?
When I came to South Korea. No, when I came to China, I was really disappointed because on the movie, everything showed like so rich, you know, and so fancy, clean. But in China, what I saw, like, so dirty, you know? In South Korea, it's same. Like, on the movie, everything looked really luxury, but not. So I was disappointed.
So you were a little disappointed when you went, because you thought it would be like the movies.
Yeah.
Right. So how was it? Was there any, like, trouble integrating into society there? Or are you kind of just... Like, how do you manage your first couple of years?
That's a good question. Actually, have you heard about the words, about the organizations? Maybe, yeah. Hanawon and Gukjeongwon. Have you heard about that?
No.
You should know about it. Actually, as soon as we come to South Korea, we don't have freedom. Every North Korean, they have to go two places. So first one is Gukjeongwon. I don't find the words in English. You call like secret agent?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to go to secret agent. It's just vital for all North Koreans because South Korean government cannot trust everyone, right? There might be spy. So some Korean Chinese, they pretend to be North Korean to have the free, you know, the ID as a South Korean. So the secret agent, we have to spend time more than 2 months in secret agent to have to take the test from the South Korean government. As either we are North Korean or, you know, spy, nothing like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, they ask lots of questions for a few days, you know. And then after 2 or 3 months, we have to go to the next place. It's called Hanawon. Korean word is Hanawon, so there is no English words. Hanawon is where we spend time 3 months there. So in the Hanawon, we have classes. We take classes like about the culture and yeah, job, you know, and knowledge about society. So it takes about 3 months. So after 6 months, we can have freedom. So when we come here, the government provide us the monthly housing, the housing.
Housing, yeah.
Yeah, housing. It's worse. It's not our home, but what is it? You have to pay monthly.
Rent.
Yeah, rent house. Yeah. And then the government provides us about $500
for each month. They give you money. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They give money, yes. Yeah.
So these agencies basically helped you get you on your feet in South Korea.
Yeah, for 6 months.
So how different is the culture, I guess, from North Korea to South Korea? I'm assuming there's a lot of similarities, right?
The culture, very different, not similar.
Not similar. Okay.
Mm-hmm. North Korea is close to the communism. But South Korea is democracy and capitalism. So the culture is quite different. In North Korea, without money, you can live. But in South Korea, you cannot without money.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a big difference. And then for me, like I was studying at the time to go to university. So for 2 years, I prepared to go to university. So I didn't make money, but the government, they paid me $500 for each month.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah, and then I had sometimes part-time job to make money, but most of the time I studied for the university.
What were like people in South Korea, what was the reaction when you said you're from North Korea? Or like, did you try to keep that under wraps for a little bit? Like, what was people like, were they shocked when you said that? Did you tell anyone you're from North Korea?
Nowadays, I don't want to say. I don't like the different view of the people. Actually, in America, you have the discrimination, right?
Yeah.
North Korea, in South Korea, it's same.
Ah.
It's not multicultural country. So if you look different, people treat you differently. So I don't want to say I am from North Korea.
So people would treat you differently if they found out you were from North Korea. Mm-hmm. So you try not to say it. Okay.
If you say you are from North Korea, it's hard for you to get a job as well in South Korea.
Okay. So I see. So you try to not say it. Do you ever fear for your safety still?
Yeah, I am safe, but sometimes it's It's funny, but sometimes I feel like, oh, those Korean government might come my house to to kill me and to bring me to North Korea, you know? So I don't want it to be seen on the media.
Oh, so still like in the back of your mind, still a little afraid.
Yeah, and on my dreams, I still trying to across the border between North Korea and China. And sometimes I get caught by the government. So it's scared still.
So what are you doing now for work there in South Korea?
In South Korea? Actually, I'm a nurse.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss home? Or you ever miss North Korea?
A lot.
You do?
A lot, yes, a lot.
So anything in specific? Like, I'm sure your family, obviously.
Yeah, family and friends.
Are you in touch with any friends, family? Obviously, your parents a little bit,
yeah,
but...
I keep in touch with my family, but not friends. I don't want to make my parents... in dangerous. So
yeah, I could get them in trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if the regime were to collapse, let's say, just, you know, the Kim family no more, would you want to return home?
I don't want to live in North Korea, but
well, if everything, let's say, like, there's no
North Korea,
no supreme leader, yeah,
then if, I will go.
You go back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, I'm just curious, what do you think about, like, when Westerners go visit North Korea? Like, if, like, like, people go on, like, group tours and go visit, what's your opinion on that?
I think they are very rich and they have lots of time. and they're crazy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I have two more questions for you. So what are your dreams for your home country? Do you think things will ever change? And if they do, Yeah, sure. What are your dreams for your home for North Korea? What are your dreams for North Korea? Do you think things will ever change there? And if they do you think it's going to be by an internal revolution by the people or outside military intervention?
If North Korea is collapsed, then I think it should, the countries outside of North Korea have to help to collapse North Korean government. Because inside of North Korea, I think it's impossible.
The people never do it? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's because every man, they have to go to military as soon as they graduate high school. And they have to spend time, 10 years in the military. So it shows that they are brainwashed by the school since they are kindergarten and, you know, elementary, middle, high school, believing that the Kim's family is a god, you know, and we have to be faithful to them. And then they go to the military as soon as graduate high school and spend time 10 years in the military.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So they became more faithful to the government and Kim Jong-il. It's all the North Korean guys. How can they have the view of the difference, you know? That we have been brainwashed. They cannot think about it. Because from the babies until 30, you go to the, you know, military, and then you are brainwashed 100% by them. So I think it doesn't make sense it's impossible to be.
For it to happen from the inside.
Yeah, inside. Yeah. Guys have the power in North Korea.
So I guess my last question for you is, how do you, is there a way for people outside, I guess, is there a way for people to help North Korean defectors? Like, what's, like, the best way to help people who fled North Korea?
Sorry?
What's the best way for people to help people who fled North Korea?
outside of North Korea, right?
Yeah, people. So someone like me, how could I help someone who's defected? Is there like organizations to donate to or something like that?
Maybe I think as a foreigners, you can go to North Korea, right?
Yeah.
You can have the chance to tour in North Korea. I think if you have the ability to work in North Korea, I saw some foreigners work in North Korea as a professor, you know, and like merchant, you know.
I don't know if I'd want to do that.
Or I think letting more people know about the reality of North Korea, I think it's also, it can help to maybe to share the information to people. Still, I think.
So just to get the word out.
Yeah. And maybe then they can help to, you know, they can help North Koreans maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure, but.
That makes sense. Well, those are all the questions I pretty much had. I guess I had one more. What do you think life would be like if you'd stayed? If you never left? What do you think life would have been like if you had stayed in North Korea?
I don't want to think about it.
I don't blame you.
That's good. Yeah, that's good question. Sometimes I always ask by myself about the question too. If I were in North Korea, maybe I would be a mom and I would have babies. Because girls in North Korea, they marry when they are just 20s, like when they graduate high school, they get married. So I will be a mom with kids. And I'm not sure. I would be happier if I live in North Korea. Because sometimes it makes me really painful missing my mom in South Korea. So.
But you're relatively happy and you're happy there, right? In South Korea.
Yeah, I had the chance, you know, for the education and for the job. But missing mom is really painful. And,
right.
Yeah, but I don't regret anyway. But in North Korea, if I were in North Korea, I do not have the chance to study, you know, to go to university and to have freedom
to follow your dreams.
Different countries around. Yeah, I traveled more than 5 countries outside of South Korea so far. So, yeah, it would be worse if I was in North Korea.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably cool seeing all these countries just coming from where you come from, just seeing like just the outside world. But yeah, those are all the questions I have. So I really appreciate you taking the time again, and I hope you have a good rest of your night. Have a good one.